Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. It is wonderful to be able to lean on the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. It seems like the more we sing those songs of faith, you could just feel the faith growing. Oh, I love how the Lord encourages us. And, you know, there's so much to be said about filling our minds, our hearts with His Word, and with those melodies of praises that well up, and to meditate on all those good things. Praise the Lord. The Lord does hear us, and He has such mercy. Amen. Praise our God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer here as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that we can gather here in Thy name. Oh, God, we thank You that we have Your Word. We have Your promises, Lord. And, oh, God, we have each other here. Oh, God, we thank You for all those that have joined us online. And I pray, oh, God, that You would meet with us, Lord. I pray that You would talk to us, that You'd sup with us, Lord. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that You give us that which we have need of, Lord. Oh, God, we could do nothing without You, Lord. I pray that You'd use this message. Oh, God, I pray that it would come forth as You would ordain it to come forth, Lord. I pray that Your words, oh, God, would come forth through this message, Lord. Oh, God, I know I could do nothing without You. I ask You to use it. I ask You to talk to us. I ask You to meet the needs of Your people, Lord. You know what the needs are, God. I pray that You give us faith to believe You, God, to stand on Thy promises and to lean on Thee. Oh, God, we thank You for this moment. We ask that You would be here. Oh, God, draw us close. Let Thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We missed church last Wednesday, so it seems like it's been a while. But we are going to continue in Psalms 89 with the Lord's help here and be talking about God's mercy and faithfulness. But there is, due to His faithfulness, due to His mercy, there was something that was revealed to those of old. It was revealed to Abraham. It was revealed to David. And, you know, there are others that wrote of it. And these are the sure mercies of God, which, you know, pertains to that faithful aspect that we have in God. You know, if we could just completely understand how faithful our God is, what He declared, what He swore by Himself, because He could not swear by any greater. You know that He could not lie. And those oaths that He declared, they were yea and amen. And praise the Lord, that is the God that we serve. He is a mighty God. And you know, He knows how to answer. He's never late. He knows how to intervene in our affairs. And we have so much, oh, to give Him praise for. We have so many blessings, and I don't know, I always feel like it's a challenge to even get through the rest of this chapter, but we'll see if the Lord will allow what He will allow. I'll tell you, though, the Lord begins to show things I know I never saw before, and I'm so thankful. We have a mighty God and His sure mercies. Oh, yes. We can grab onto those, amen, just as they did of old. Praise the Lord. As we begin here tonight, let's go to Isaiah 55 for a very few verses, if you would. Isaiah 55, and we're going to look at verse 3 here to begin. And again, we'll be going, Lord willing, to Psalms 89, but I want to lay a little groundwork here. It says here in verse 3, in chapter 55, Isaiah, "Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Oh, praise the Lord. It wasn't an exclusive covenant that he was talking about. It wasn't just, you know, set apart for a particular people of a certain creed and background or nationality. But, oh, yes, he's talking about, yes, an everlasting covenant that he would bring forth even the sure mercies of David, and he would call forth a nation that they had not known, and nations that had not known God, it says, would run unto him. Oh, praise the Lord. And so it is. Here we are tonight. The Lord has called us. And perhaps we weren't part of that Jewish background, which was predominantly what that first covenant was about. But, you know, God made a way so that he would call forth another people. Oh, yes, the people, yes, that would serve him from all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of kindreds, all kinds of peoples. Praise the Lord, that's what he so ordained, you know, that he would call forth a people that would be a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people that he would call forth unto this marvelous grace that he has bestowed upon us, a people that had not been a people before, but because of the sure mercies of David, all they too would know the living God. Praise the Lord. And I just want to go back to just a little bit there from some of those portions that we talked about a little bit the other week. We know that God called David. Oh, yes, it was a very specific call. And you know, the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel, and I don't plan to read the whole thing, but just looking at it a little bit here, it talks about, you know, the time when God was fed up, you could say, with Saul. And, you know, he asked Samuel the prophet to go to Bethlehem, and there that he would show him he who was to be king, because God had rejected Saul. And praise the Lord, we know that he came to the land of the city of Bethlehem there, and you know, particularly God had made it known, he told him how to do it, and you know that he's going to call the people for a sacrifice to the Lord. And you know, particularly, you know, Jesse was supposed to be there. And, you know, there was going to come forth some, you know, some son from Jesse that was going to be called forth of God. And it must have been quite a moment there, you know, as those sons came forth when it was time, you know, after Samuel has sanctified Jesse and his sons, he called them to the sacrifice and you know, begin to look to the sons. And, you know, the first son, first of all, Eliab, came forth, and, you know, Samuel thought in his heart, oh, this is he. This is the Lord's anointed. And God said, no, it's not. You know, don't look on his countenance, on the height of his stature, you know. So I've refused him. He's not the man, you know. And, you know, the Lord talked to him, Samuel, and told him, man looks on the outward appearance, and I'm paraphrasing here, but God looks on the heart. And so that was not the man that God had called to be the anointed one. And then another son came forth, Abinadab. And, you know, Samuel thought at first, oh, this must be the one. But God told him, no, this is not the one I've chosen either. And then, you know, the third son, Shammah, came forth. And again, you know, God had not chosen him either. And, you know, all of those initial seven sons of Jesse passed by. and God hadn't chosen any of them. You know, and I imagine Samuel wondering, well, you know, Lord, you told me to come here. You know, you mentioned, you know, there would be somebody of Jesse that, you know, I should anoint as to be king. And, you know, yet, is there not another son? And lo and behold, we know that he was out there with the sheep. He was the keeper of the sheep. It was David. He was the youngest of all of them. And how amazing it was when he came forth, you know. He was young. You know, it explains in verse 12 here, when he was brought in, he was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. The Lord spoke to Samuel and said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." And it tells us that Samuel took the horn of oil and he anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So praise the Lord, that's how the Lord made it known that David was to be the king who had replaced Saul. And he talks about how the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. And because that the Spirit of the Lord and Saul had been anointed too, the Spirit of the Lord had come upon him too when he was anointed. But because he had not been obedient, because he had a stubborn spirit about him, and there were other things that God could not tolerate about that man, the Spirit of the Lord left Saul. That's one of the saddest stories in the Bible. It talks about how an evil spirit, and it says from the Lord, troubled him. In other words, the presence of the Lord left him, and the Lord allowed an evil spirit to trouble him. But God had another plan. You know, God's always on top of things, and God always knows how to do it. And we know that David did become king. And as his kingdom was becoming established in the 7th chapter of 2 Samuel, we know that it was in David's heart to build some kind of edifice, a temple for the Lord. And, you know, it was deep in his heart. And at first, Nathan, the prophet, told him to go do it. You know, the Lord is with you. You know, but God talked to Nathan, the prophet, because that wasn't going to be God's will. But the amazing thing is, his son would build a house for the Lord. But God was going to take David and make him a house. And that's quite an amazing thing. God began to bring forth his promise, that which had been ordained from the foundation of the world. You know, that there would be one that would be he who would bring forth the seed that would bring forth Jesus Christ, the Deliverer, the Savior. And praise the Lord, it began to be established as God was bringing out his will and bringing it into action. And he told David here, oh yes, through Nathan the prophet, here in the 7th chapter of 2 Samuel, it says, in verse 8, "Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheep coat, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time." It says in verse 11, "And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house." Going to be the reverse of what David had expected at the first, that he would build God a house. Instead, God was going to make him a house. It says in verse 12, "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set upon thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." Praise the Lord. And this is what the sure mercies of David were about. Of course, we know that, you know, Solomon, his son, did come to the throne. God did establish him. He did build a magnificent temple for the Lord. And praise the Lord, you know, that lineage went on until it was over. But God was not through, because, yes, that promise, that seed that would come forth, was yet to be. And praise the Lord, we go now to the 89th chapter of Psalms. I hope we can fill in the blanks here, and the Lord will show us these things that we need to see from His Word. I know we dealt pretty much maybe with the first third of the Scripture the other week. But we left off with about verse 19. And the first part definitely talks about the mercies of the Lord. And the psalmist who is writing it, it's not David, it's Ethan, the Israelite, that is writing this psalm. And he's, you know, he begins by, you know, talking about the great mercies of the Lord and declaring that he will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. And with his mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. He said, "For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens." And he goes on to talk about that covenant that he had made with his chosen, that he had sworn unto David, his servant, that promise that he had made that his seed would be established forever and his throne would be to all generations. Now this is curious, because there was an end of the kings of Israel. There was an end to the kings of Judah. But yet this promise would continue, because God had a plan. And yes, he would establish it, and it would be done. And praise the Lord for that. God in his wonderful promises, God in his wonderful faithfulness and his great mercy to his people. But yes, he went on, oh yes, to talk about it. And you know, the psalmist went on to say in verse 15, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance." Oh, praise the Lord. And oh yes, if we've met the Lord Jesus, oh yes, if he has intervened in our lives, then oh, we know that joyful sound, that sound of salvation. But here, you know, in the time that this was written, you know, they were just prophesying of that which would yet be. They did not yet know how God would intervene, how God would bring forth this promise, that covenant that he had brought forth. Because that first covenant that he had given was temporary. It was conditional. It was set upon, you know, a lot of ifs. If my people will do this, then I will do that. It was set upon that completely. And we know that they didn't follow through, that the people that he had given that covenant to were not faithful. They did not stand on it. They did not walk by it. They did not obey it. And there came a time when God gave them over. God let the enemies come in and take them over, because they had gone after other gods. They had gone the ways of the heathen people. They were no longer truly following him. But praise the Lord, that promise would continue. God would make sure of it. It was going to be. And so, here the psalmist is saying, verse 16, in thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted, for thou art the glory of their strength. And in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. The Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Praise the Lord. And we know that it was established, that the habitation of that throne was established by justice and judgment. Oh, yes, God's righteous judgment that prevails. Oh, yes, His judgment, you know, His mercy and His truth that would go before their face. But here, we come to verse 19, and it kind of changes a bit. It's like now there's a vision that's being brought forth here. It says in verse 19, then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. And, you know, we read those passages from Samuel where, you know, Samuel the prophet went to Jesse and, you know, God had selected David. Samuel anointed David. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. We read that. And we read there in the second Samuel there how God had promised that He was going to make a house out of David. So, okay, we can go forward. And you know, we read in Isaiah 55 about the sure mercies of David that were established, that would come to pass. So here he's talking about, I have exalted one chosen out of the people. It says in verse 20, I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. And I believe here, you know, there are some of these scriptures that do go back to David specifically, but also greater than that. Beyond that, I believe these scriptures pertain. It says, with whom? He's talking about David. He said, with whom my hand shall be established. He was going to establish that everlasting kingdom through David. It says, mine arm also shall strengthen him. Verse 22 says, the enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Oh, yes. All because of God, all because of the favor of the Lord. But I believe this prophetic utterance pertains to he who would come forth. In particular, in even more than David. It says in verse 25, I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. And that's an interesting passage. We look at the 8th chapter of Psalms. We read in Psalms chapter 8, and it's talking about he who would be coming. It says here in verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Oh, and he's talking about the Lord Jesus here. It says, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Praise the Lord. And it was going to be by the name of the Lord that this would be established, that that horn would be exalted. Oh, yes, that's how it would come forth. And God would set forth his hand also in the sea, his right hand in the rivers, giving his Holy One that kind of authority, that kind of dominion. And yet we have not seen it all in its entirety. Oh, yes, there's a moment when all of this will come to its final place. And all who have ever lived, all who have ever breathed, are going to realize who Jesus Christ is. Oh, yes, the scripture talks about how all knees, every knee shall bow to him, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Yes, there is that moment when it's going to be known. Oh, yes, when he is going to be exalted above any king of this earth. Oh, yes. And all of his enemies, oh, yes, are going to be brought down at that moment. Oh, yes. Oh, he's going to beat down his foes before his face. He's going to plague them that have hated him. It's all going to come into play. Oh, yes, it's all going to stand at that moment when our Lord returns again, this time to judge this world, this time to deliver his people that have served him. Oh, yes, to bring back those that are with him. And oh, yes, those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord. Amen? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, in my name shall his horn be exalted. It says in verse 25 here, I will set his hand also in the sea and his right hand in the rivers. That dominion, that favor. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. And it goes on to say, also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. Oh, praise the Lord. Who was it? Who was that firstborn? Oh, yes, the psalmist spoke of it in the second psalm. Just to look at that for a moment. It says in verse 7 of Psalms the second, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And then verse 9 says, Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And oh, how wise he would be. Oh, yes. If men, if women, boys and girls would bow their knee to the Lord and surrender their hearts while they yet breathe. It says in verse 10, Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Oh my, it would be so vitally important that that knee bow to the King of Kings right now. Yes, while we yet have breath, while we still breathe, oh yes, that we make our peace with God. Just at that moment, when we stand before Him, when He stands to judge, that He would be found in wrath, that He would come with wrath, and that wrath would be kindled. And we would not be found in the way. We would not be found at his right hand. We would not be found in peace. But praise the Lord. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Oh, praise the Lord. But the Lord was going to bring forth his firstborn. We know that first chapter of Hebrews also verifies this strongly. And in Acts, the 13th chapter, we also see this prophetic utterance. Oh, yes, being declared. It says in Acts, the 13th chapter, and here Paul is addressing a people in the synagogue. He had gone to Antioch in Pisidia, and there he went into the synagogue to teach those that were assembled there. And you know, they read the law, and then, you know, he came forth to bring what God had put on his heart. And it's quite a sermon that he preached here in this 13th chapter of the book of Acts. It tells us in verse 16, it says, "Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience." You know, they hadn't heard this before. He was preaching to Jewish people at this moment, and he was bringing forth the Savior. Oh, he was bringing forth the sure mercies of David. It says in verse 17, "The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet." And in verse 21, "And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus." Praise the Lord. Yes, there was going to be a seed that would come forth out of David. Oh, yes, a seed that would bring forth the Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And what a beautiful history lesson this is here that Paul is giving here. And he talks about how John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. Verse 25 says, "And as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose." And praise the Lord, oh, he's going to get into it now, Paul, as he was bringing forth the word of God. He said in verse 26, "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem, and the rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain." Oh, yes, what did they cry? Did they receive Jesus, the Jewish people? Did they receive him? I'm afraid they cried, "Away with him. Away with him from the earth. Crucify him. Oh, we have no king but Caesar." All these words that they cried out as they rejected Jesus Christ. And here Paul is telling the story. "And though they found no cause of death in him," Pilate didn't want to crucify him. Pilate could see that there was no reason for Jesus to die. He was innocent. His wife had been given a dream and told her husband not to have anything to do with Jesus Christ. But did it go forth? It did, that crucifixion. And it says in verse 29, "And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And then verse 32 says, and we declare unto you glad tidings, all the gospel, the glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And it's concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption. He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Oh, praise the Lord for the promises of God. Oh, yes, God had promised, you know. Oh, that his Holy One would not suffer corruption. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. And so it was that body that was laid in that sepulcher did not see decay. Oh, yes, it did not see corruption. And God raised him up again. It says, for David, after he had served his own generation, by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. And he said in verse 38, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, he despises and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Oh, it all had been prophesied, and Paul was bringing it forth here. Oh, yes, in that understanding now that Jesus had come to the world as the Son of God. Oh, yes, as he had fulfilled that plan that had been laid out and even betrayed into the hands of sinful men. Oh, yes, crucified. And oh, yes, put in a sepulcher. But praise the Lord, death could not keep him down. His body saw no corruption. And the Lord raised him up again. Amen. Oh, never again to see death or any of that again. And oh, yes, although he ascended into the heavens, he's going to come again, isn't he? He's going to come again, this time as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This time, oh, yes, to judge the earth in his righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, he will have dominion. Oh, yes, he will be proclaimed higher than the kings of the earth, as it tells us back here in Psalms 89. And verse 28 here says, my mercy will I keep for him forevermore. My covenant shall stand fast with him. Oh, this covenant was going to know no end. The second covenant would be everlasting. It wasn't conditional like the first. And it tells us in verse 29, his seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as a son before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. Selah. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what it was all about. A seed he would bring forth that would endure forever. Oh, yes, a seed that would be chastised if they did forsake his law. And, you know, God kept that promise to David. You know, his line did continue until it was finished. And even though those kings, many of them that followed, were rebellious and did not walk in the ways of the Lord let that lineage continue because it had been promised. And God had said, yes, he would not take it away from David. It would not be broken. That thing that, you know, it would come through David. And then that seed that would come forth. Oh, yes. And may we ask, who is this seed that would come forth? Who is it that is being spoken of here in the Holy Scripture? Let's look at Galatians, the third chapter. Let's go there now. It's clear as the Lord put it all together in his word, who that seed would be that would follow. That seed that would come forth out of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. We read, yes, that God brought forth that promise, raised up to Israel a Savior, Jesus Christ. As we go to Galatians, we can continue that thought. Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 3, it says in verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And of course, that promise had been given to Abraham before it was given to David, right? But that you can see how that lineage would continue and how that seed would come forth. So it says here, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Oh, it wasn't going to be just one specific kindred or people that it would come forth. It would be of all nations. So it says in verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things that are written in the book. It was necessary, oh yes, to follow every aspect of the law to the letter to be accepted. And if not, you were cursed. That law had cursings with it. Those works of the law. It says, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. The law was not the final thing. The law was not sufficient. The law was not of faith. We could not be justified by it. So it's declared here again. Verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And very clearly here in verse 12, why do people want to go back to the law? And that was a wonder here as Paul was addressing the church at Galatia. They had wanted to go back to the law. And you know, he considers that very foolish. How could you, if you've begun in faith, go back to that which was cursed, in other words, here? He explains here, and the law is not of faith, verse 12, but man that doeth them shall live in them. Verse 13 tells us Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Praise the Lord, there was a plan that would go beyond that. There was a seed of David that would come forth, the sure mercy of David that would come forth with a new covenant by the blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore it says Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Oh yes, it had been declared in Deuteronomy, the 21st chapter, that those that hung on a tree were cursed. What did Jesus Christ do? He took that curse for us. Oh yes, that we would not have to bear it. He bore it for us. He was made a curse for us. Why? It tells us in verse 14 that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Praise the Lord, He took that curse. Oh yes, so we would not have to bear it. That we might receive that blessing of Abraham. That we might be participants in that blessing. Oh yes, that it might come upon the Gentiles, as it is written here, that promise of the Spirit through faith. Oh, praise the Lord, the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost that He was going to bestow upon His people. Oh, yes, that He could be in them, that we could become the temple of the living God. Oh, yes, that He could walk in us and talk to us and lead us and guide us, show us the things that we needed to see and understand. Be our comforter, be our guide, be our Father. Praise the Lord that we could be His sons and His daughters. That promise of the Spirit through faith. He took it all so that we might be joint heirs with Christ. And it goes on to say in verse 15 here in Galatians 3, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuleth or addeth to it. You know, what God would covenant, what He would say, what He would declare was firm. You could add to it, you could take away. That's the way it is. That's the way it is with His Word. That's, you know, even there in the book of Revelation, you know, oh, what did John say there? Oh, yes, that book was ending. Yeah, that testimony that was given. He said, for I testify unto every man here, Revelation 22nd chapter, verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in his book, in this book. Praise the Lord, we do not tamper with the book of God. We do not tamper with the words of life. We do not tamper with those prophetic utterances that were made. Oh no, not if we... Oh, do not want our name to be blotted out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in that book. Oh, indeed. So, it tells us here in Galatians 3, verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. See, it wasn't exclusively to Abraham, it was beyond that, it was to the seed that would follow him. And God came forth. He chose David to again be partaker in that seed and of his lineage. That seed would follow through. And you know that Jesus Christ was born of the seed of David. Oh yes, that's another thing that is very clear in the Word of God. Oh yes, even declared on the day of Pentecost when Peter was preaching, you know. He said, just looking at a couple verses here in Acts, the second chapter, Peter preached that he said in verse 29, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. See, it had been declared, it was sworn with an oath. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear." Oh yes, he had just poured out of his spirit. And Peter was putting the pieces together there, having realized it. Oh yes, God was fulfilling his word that seed that had been promised had come forth. That seed that had come forth out of David. And now God, oh yes, had brought forth after the flesh, the man, Jesus Christ. But praise the Lord, Jesus Christ brought forth an everlasting covenant. Oh yes, as we already have said, that soul was not left in hell. His flesh did not see corruption. Praise the Lord, God raised it from the dead. And oh yes, they were witnesses back there of this very thing. And now he was by the right hand of God exalted. And what had he done? Just as he had promised those there, the 14th, 15th, 16th chapters of John, that he would bring forth the Comforter, that he would send forth his Spirit. And now it had happened there, the second chapter of Acts. Having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has sent forth this which you now see and hear. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the wonder of it all. God bringing forth his plan. You know, he went on to say, "For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool." Oh, yes, until the final judgment period. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Oh, praise the Lord. That's the Lord we serve. Oh, that's the mighty God that we serve. Oh, yes, that brought forth his word. Oh, yes, that the blessed seed of Abraham, as it tells us in Galatians, the third chapter, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what it was all about. And that covenant that, you know, it could not be disannulled or added to. And verse 16 here in Galatians, the third chapter, says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds." You know, like there's a Jewish seed or there's a Gentile seed. No, it wasn't that at all. It says, "He saith not, and to seeds. As of many, but no, as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." Here he's making it clear that, you know, he would bring forth a people, oh yes, that would be called, that would come forth as a seed of David, as a seed of Jesus Christ, as joint heirs with Christ. Oh yes, oh yes. the promise made long ago to Abraham. He says, "And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that. It should make the promise of none effect. The promise that was given to Abraham was made before the time of the law. And it says, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise." See, the promise was made to Abraham, it was a promise. It was for sure. It was going to happen. You know, it did not come by the law. Clearly said here, "For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise." You see the point that Paul is trying to make here? Oh yes, they were no longer under the curse of the law. Oh yes, now it pertained to the promise that had been made to Abraham, that continued through David, that continued through Jesus Christ. And then so he's asking a question to these people at Galatia here, who desired to go back to the thing of the law. It says in verse 19, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." Oh, praise the Lord, Jesus Christ being that mediator. Oh, yes, the law served a temporary purpose here. It was added, it tells us here, because of transgressions. It was needful to declare what sin was. You see, the law spelled out sin, so they would know very specifically the do's and don'ts. It was to clarify that, so that they would know what God expected of them. And so it was added because of transgressions, it tells us here. But it says, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Oh, yes, Jesus Christ would come to deliver us, to set us free. Oh, yes, oh, to make us his sons and daughters. It says, it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. And it explains, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Is there a conflict here, is he asking then? You know, promises versus law? Oh, he says, God forbid. For if there had been a law given which should have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But you see, the law was limited. It could not bring forth the righteousness that was needed. It would take the Son of God, God putting himself under his own law, coming to this world to keep the law. Oh yes, the only one that ever did so. Oh yes, so that he might give us life, and life abundantly, life that is in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord, that we might receive the promise of the Father. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord for that. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. See, it would have been sufficient, in other words. But it says in verse 22, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin." Oh, we had all sinned. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All concluded under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But it says, "But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed." And how they must have wondered. Psalms 89 continues that wonderment. You know, when is he coming? When is the deliverer coming? When will we be set free from this bondage? Oh, they were looking so for that redemption. But it tells us here, it was all shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. And it explains in verse 24, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. See, you know, it was necessary for that period, for that teaching, for the instructions that was needed for those moments. But praise the Lord was going to bring forth a better way. He was going to bring forth a new covenant in His blood. And it says in verse 26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Verse 27 explains, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Oh, praise the Lord, the wonderful plan of God. And praise the Lord, when we're buried with Him in those waters of baptism, it says we put on Christ. As many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, is baptism necessary? Is it essential? I'd say it is. Declares it here. That need to be baptized into Christ, to identify with Christ in those waters of baptism. Oh, yes, that indicator, yes, that we have put on the Lord Jesus. And praise the Lord, there's no difference between Jew or Greek. There is no difference between bond or free. There is no difference between male nor female. It tells us here clearly, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. He has made one body and put it all together. It says, and if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Oh, the wonderful Word of God, the wonderful sure mercies of God, oh, that He would establish forever, that He would bring forth, as it is written here in Psalms 89. But as we look at Psalms 89 a bit more, there's a difference after verse 37. He has talked about that seed that would endure forever, that seed that would be established, that throne that would be as a son, a throne that would be established forever and as a faithful witness in heaven. But there's a division here. If we look at verse 38 here in Psalms 89, he's talking about a people that have rejected the Word of God. He says, "But thou hast cast off and abhorred, thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. Thou hast set up the right hand of his adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. Thou hast also turned the edges of his sword and hast not made him to stand in the battle." Oh, yes, when the heart isn't right, there is no strength. Oh, yes, just as, you know, they fled at the Battle of Ai after the glorious victory at Jericho because there was sin in the camp. Somebody had taken of the accursed thing. Oh, yes, and God, He could not give them victory until that was taken care of. Sin in the camp. Sin hinders. Oh, yes. Sin makes it impossible for God to do His work. But praise the Lord, the glorious gospel, the glorious good news makes a way that we can come to the Lord. Oh yes, that we can be participants in His covenant. But I'm afraid there were people that made void, the covenant, all that first covenant that was made void by their casting off, by their abhorrence. Oh, yes, that the fact that they were wrought with the anointed, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came forth. Oh, I'll tell you what, that wasn't a beautiful thing by any means. Oh, their attitude, their spirit, that which took place there when Jesus was there in Pilate's judgment hall. Oh, my. You know, Pilate, it tells us in the 19th chapter, John sought to release Jesus Christ. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." And it says, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, in about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." Oh, Jesus, we know him to be King of kings and Lord of lords. And he had come unto his own, but his own received him not. And here, Pilate is telling them, "Behold your king." What did they cry out? They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Oh, can you hear that cry as those devils all uttered such a horrendous word? "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Oh, yes, they delivered him to be crucified. They took Jesus and led him away. Oh, yes, but oh my, they rejected the King of Kings. Oh, yes, as it tells us here in the Psalm, "Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground." They rejected him. They said they had no king but Caesar. They also said, "His blood be upon us and upon our children." Oh, it was broken down. All his hedges thou hast broke, brought his strongholds to ruin. It was all those needs of fortification brought down. All that passed by the way spoil him. He's a reproach to his neighbors. "Thou hast set up the right hand of his adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice." It was not a beautiful day when they rejected Jesus Christ. But praise the Lord. Oh, he was not defeated, was he? Oh, yes, he was not cast away. No, because he would come forth with victory. He would come forth, oh, yes, as King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, yes, the one that we serve, our master, our God, our Savior. Praise the Lord, the one that we turn to with all of our heart, the one that we surrender our hearts and our minds to. But oh, there was rejection. Oh, yes, he was despised. He was rejected, a man. He was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Make it as it were. Their faces from him, all of that. They had turned the edge of the sword and has not made him to stand, or he has made him to stand in the battle, has not made him to stand in the battle, all because of that rebellion. "Thou hast made his glory to cease and cast his throne down to the ground." Oh, you see, there was a difference. There was that rejection. The days of his youth hast thou shortened. Thou hast covered him with shame. Selah. What a day that was. But praise the Lord, he came forth with victory, didn't he? He came forth to redeem us. And that promise, oh, that seed of David, that sure mercy of David, oh, came forth as God brought forth his Spirit on the day of Pentecost, as he put it. Oh, yes, within the very person the very beings of His people. Praise the Lord, the plan of God that could not be stopped. No matter how rejected He was, no matter how despised He was, His plan would not be altered. Oh yes, that promise that He had made of that covenant would not be broken. It would come forth. No matter what, He was going to bring forth a people. He was going to bring forth a seed. He was going to bring forth a body. Oh yes, that would serve Him. Oh yes, that would be His sons and His daughters. Oh, a seed that would be established in the earth. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, an everlasting seed. Oh yes, and even beyond our time on this earth. Oh yes. For we shall reign with Him as kings and priests unto God. Oh yes, if we are faithful. Oh yes, if we are among the chosen, we shall reign with Him, joint heirs with Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, that glorious throne that He has established, that He has brought forth, that which He promised unto David, those sure mercies. And praise the Lord, as it tells us here in this 89th Psalm, that 15th verse, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance. Oh, praise the Lord, if we've been redeemed, if we've been, established. Oh, yes, as the children of God, we know that joyful sound. We know the ring. Oh, that song, that note of salvation, of being set free from our sins. Oh, to have those sins cast behind our back so that they are no longer in our face. Oh, no longer there to hinder us. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord, by the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. The plan of the Lord, you see, He was bringing it forth. He was establishing it. Praise the Lord. Even though there were those that abhorred it, that cast it off. Oh yes, but praise the Lord, His seed would endure forever. His covenant would be established. It would not be broken. Praise the Lord, that which He has sworn to David, His servant, that seed that He would establish forever and build up that throne unto all generations. Oh, praise the Lord, there is a reason. Oh, if we are the redeemed of the Lord, that we can sing of the mercies of the Lord. Oh, that song that He puts in our heart, that new song, that song of praise that He puts within our heart. Oh, we can sing it. That song of the mercies of the Lord. It is not just for one moment. No, it's an everlasting song. Oh yes, because He has redeemed us. Oh yes, it is beyond this little frail life that we live. It's beyond these few little moments, oh, that we live here on this earth. Oh yes, because we will sing forever. We will praise forever. We will worship forever before the throne of God. Oh yes, joint heirs with Christ. And praise the Lord, we have these promises. We know what God has established, that will He do. For God is faithful. Oh yes, and God's mercy are without fail. Oh yes, it is established. Therefore we can sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Oh yes, with our mouth we can make known His faithfulness, God's faithfulness to all generations. And here we are, these many generations removed, as this, oh yes, the corridor of time goes forth, we are here yet to declare it, to sing it, to worship, to praise. Oh yes, to be participants as His sons and daughters, as joint heirs with Christ, as the seed of Abraham. Praise the Lord, those that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord, that seed that would be established forever, that throne that would be built up unto all generations. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Can we worship Him? Can we praise Him? Oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, God, we thank You, Lord. Oh, God, we praise Thee, Lord. We thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You for the Word, oh, Lord, that You have declared. Oh, God, that Word that has been established, those promises that we can cling to, Lord, and hold to, Lord, because they are true, Lord. And, oh, God, they will not fail. I pray, oh, God, that You help us to grasp that. Oh, help us to believe You, Lord. Oh, God, help us, oh, Lord, to understand, oh, Lord, that those promises are yea and amen. And for us, oh, Lord. Oh, praise Your name. Thank You, Jesus. Join tears with Christ, all our participants.
Praise the Lord. We are going to turn to number 169 in our chorus book and sing, I Will Sing of the Mercies of the Lord Forever. Number 169.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness, Thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness, Thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness, Thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Dismissed under prayer in Jesus' name.